Feeling overwhelmed by client demands and busy work? You need Client Hub to ditch the busy work and take your accounting practice to the next level with the magic of AI. Client Hub is the ultimate practice management solution, built specifically for accountants and pro advisors like you. It's a single magical place where you can collaborate with your team and clients effortlessly. Client Hub's powerful AI capabilities are game-changing. Client Hub can triage your inbox by summarizing email threads and automatically drafting email replies to all your common client questions. The new Magic Workflow feature will create instructions and detailed task checklists for any new client work or unusual requests that come your way. Client Hub is both amazingly powerful and yet amazingly simple. The intuitive, modern interface allows your team to start using it immediately. The mobile app makes it easy for everyone, including your clients, to track tasks and communicate on the go, ensuring nothing falls through the cracks. To experience the magic of Client Hub for yourself and see how it can transform your accounting practice, head over to uqb.promo/clienthub. That is uqb.promo/clienthub.
Welcome to the unofficial QuickBooks Accountants podcast. I am joined by my good friend, Alicia Katz-Pollock, the original, the one and only QBO rockstar, CEO and founder of Royal Wise Solutions.
And I have the privilege of collaborating with Hector Garcia, CPA, the founder of Right Tool for QuickBooks.
In this episode of the unofficial QuickBooks Accountants podcast, we're going to talk about some interface tweaks and small little changes we've seen in the first quarter of 2024. Hey, Alicia, how are you?
I'm doing great, but I'm really craving a cup of coffee right now.
All right, no problem. I'll virtually send one over.
I appreciate
let's talk
that.
About. So let's talk about all these little things that we've seen in QuickBooks Online changed in the past couple months. These are sort of sleeper features that there's small tweaks here and there, but they kind of make fundamental changes to our workflow. So we're going to start with modernized reports, you know, one of the least popular changes in the last couple of years in QuickBooks Online, something that was released pretty early, and it was sort of forced into users pretty early in terms of you start with the P&L, you drill down, and you go into this new modernized reports. People are getting kind of mad, so QuickBooks took a step back and now allowing people to go to modernized reports if they want to and switch into classic mode here and there. But with that being said, they kind of have this ticking time bomb where they made this announcement that by July of 2024, they essentially wanted to do away with all classic reports. And now they're sort of racing against time to get modernized reports to look and feel like classic reports in a way, and also to improve upon the things that were never able to improve upon. So let's talk about the couple of things that they've added. And the first major one, and I think this is big, especially for like the old school desktop users and QBO users, is the regular date picker now works with keyboard shortcuts. So when you're in the modernized reports and you press T, you get today, you press Y, you get the beginning of the year, R, end of the year, that sort of thing. So now the keyboard shortcuts work within the date pickers in modernized reports. Alicia, thoughts?
I mean, that's one of my favorite hacks with using QBO is like, you know, if I want to go to December 31st, I don't type 12/31. I type YYR to go back to the beginning of this year, beginning of last year, and then R to the end of the year. So I'm really happy that they're standardizing the calendars. I really like it when all the calendars across the whole software work exactly the same way. And this was definitely one of those.
Exactly. And the other really cool thing that they added, and this seems kind of minor, when you're doing a detailed report in Modernize, sometimes certain headers that basically label the fields that you're seeing in the detailed report could come from, let's say, the source of the transaction, or they could come from the some linked portion of the transaction. So for example, let's say you're looking for address in an invoice report. So the big question is, does this address come from the address that's typed out on the invoice itself, or does the address come from the actual customer attributes? So now the fields have a label in the top where it will say like address, but then it will say customer under it and it will say invoice under it. So you know exactly where it's getting the information from. So for the custom reporting geeks and the data geeks, this is really important because sometimes, especially with the old detail reports, you weren't 100% sure where the data was coming from. You kind of had to open the transaction and see, oh, is this coming from here? Is this coming from some default database? So I think that's big.
Yeah, that's going to be one of those that for advanced and experienced users, they're going to really appreciate being able to see where the data is coming from. But I think for somebody who isn't as well versed in reports yet, it might appear as visual clutter or like, what's this and what does that mean? But it's a great learning opportunity to really understand what's happening behind the scenes in the reports. Because one of the things that the new modern view brings to the table, especially in advanced, is the ability to create your own modern reports out of any table and bring together data from lots of different places all into one form, which the classic version that we're used to never did and wasn't able to do. And so having these label sources when you are cobbling together your perfect report is really essential. And so I like seeing it there myself.
Yeah, another example worth mentioning for this specific feature is, for example, class. You have the option to choose whether a class is going to be detail level or it's going to be header level. So class is one of those fields that could either come from the header or it could come from the transaction lines. So that little label under it telling you, hey, this class comes from the transaction line or this class comes from the transaction header level. Again, it lets you understand what you're looking, essentially, eventually what you're looking for in a report. And whether you're an advanced user or a basic user or a sort of getting started, I think that you shouldn't label yourself as such. I think that understanding the data you're looking at a report should become a more fundamental feature, especially as, you know, AI starts doing some of the mundane bookkeeping work. The bookkeeper has to now evolve from a sort of an expert in data entry to now an expert in data verification, data organization, and data interpretation. So I think this is a huge win, even though there is some clutter on the header. I think it's a huge win for the people that are turning into data geeks.
I personally would like to see a toggle to turn it on and off when it's helpful, but I appreciate that it's there. I think it's something new and interesting.
Right. Yeah. Again, I'm always going to say yes to toggles. Toggles are your friend, especially when you want to customize the workflow. The other interesting thing is a visible refresh button. So prior to adding a refresh button on top of the report, which is what we were expecting to see, if you wanted to refresh a modernized report, you had to refresh the whole screen. And the problem with refreshing the whole screen is that you lose all the customizations that you were doing along the way. So prior to the refresh button, you would have to customize the report, save the report, and then refresh the report if you wanted to see if a new transaction was added or a number was changed. Now there's a very visible refresh button on the top right of the report, which I'll brag that it was maybe partly inspired by WriteTool, because WriteTool, we added like about a month and a half ago, we added a little red refresh button next to the report name because of this very problem. So now this is another feature in WriteTool that we have to deprecate because we no longer need it. QuickBooks has added a very much needed feature into the core functionality. The next one is in the modernized reports, the title, now it's on top of the report. If you remember, Alicia, before the title was sort of outside of the report, it was like in the header of the screen. Now the title is inside the white box of the report. That way it feels a bit more cohesive. And it is really a call out to the classic reports. And you can edit the title from that area by just clicking on the little pencil button. So I think that's great because, again, it makes the report preview look a lot more like what the report's going to look like when you print it.
Yeah, it fits the expectations. I mean, as Intuit is migrating us over, everything that they did that makes it look like the old reports is going to help their case for sure. Yeah.
And with
along the same lines, something else that they did to make it more like it used to be was they took the dates, which were in the center and kind of had a drop down, which originally didn't even have all dates on it. And they moved it back over to where we're used to going to look for it, over to the left hand side. So the report period has its drop down. And once you choose custom, then the two fields for the from and to dates then appear. And so I'm very happy that that got reinstated the way that it used to be.
Exactly. And just going back, calling out on the report title issue. So before, you could save the customized report, but there wasn't a save as button. So it wasn't very clear for the user, how do I take the current report and the couple of changes that I made and save it into another report? So they've done a certain workflow where under the save button, there's a save as button in the dropdown. And when you save as, it forces you to change the title of the report. And that's how QuickBooks knows that if it saves this one, it doesn't overwrite the existing save report that you have. So I like that. I think it's missing differentiating the name of the save report versus the actual title of the report. I think those two things should be different. But for now, at least there's a natural workflow for saving a second version of the report after you've customized it without losing the first one.
Yeah, I want to actually get specific about that, because in other software, when you click save as, you're used to then giving it a title and changing the location. In this, instead, you change the title and then you do save as. So it works a little different than expectations. So as soon as you hit save as, it saves it. And if you haven't changed the name of the report, then it just overwrites the report that you already had. So it's kind of a hybrid of a save button, not really a save as, the way that we, you know, for 30 years have been using save as a computer command. So it still works a little differently.
Exactly. And it's worth mentioning that modernized reports, when you save a custom modernized reports, you cannot group it still. You don't have the ability to group your save modernized reports into a single group. That feature is majorly missing compared to the classic reports. We need that. So this is all within that save as that save as theme. Now, going back to Alicia's call out about the date being moved to the top left of the report, they've also added a visible accrual cache toggle. It's no longer inside of a little drawer where you have to go find out. It's now visible. It's obvious to the user. Whether you're working on cache or accrual, you can toggle on the fly. So that's extremely important, because that's probably one of the most powerful things that people missed about classic reports when working with a modernized report is, hey, where's my cache accrual toggle? So, and the other thing worth mentioning, in that same top left area, there is now the option to collapse or expand rows that happen to be grouped. It's now inside a three little dot icon right there on the top left of the screen.
Yeah, I'm really happy that they put it somewhere where you can actually see it, because before it was right next to the title and people didn't even see that it was a button to push. They didn't know what it was or what it was for. So now it's where it actually belongs as a tool. I'm kind of curious about the icon. I'd rather see like an up-down arrow or like a two-headed up and down arrow than three dots. But, you know, hey, I'll take it. And maybe that three dots is going to become additional commands as well.
Right. The three dots actually has the collapse and expand button for grouped detail reports, and also this little normal view versus compact view that basically changes like the font size and the spacing between the lines. So you kind of get to squeeze in more information in that report. And the last thing to mention here, and this might be minor to some, but to me it was huge. Printed reports prior to this little change used to have serifed fonts, like a Times New Roman type of font. And the fonts you were looking in the screen were more of a Helvetica, like a non-serif font. So it drove me freaking bonkers that the report I'm seeing has one font and the report I'm printing has a different font. So I'm happy to report that they've listened to us. Well, maybe they listened to me, because I was maybe the only lunatic screaming about this. But they finally fixed it where the fonts on the printed report are similar to the fonts that are on the preview. And also worth mentioning, Alicia, I would love to know if you feel this as well, I feel the modernized reports load faster than a couple of months ago. Do you feel? I really feel the performance improvement on modernized reports.
Yeah, I do as well, especially on the ones with a lot of data, that it really has become, you know, the whole purpose of going to modern reports is to take advantage of the new underlying architecture. And this is one of the places where it really shows.
Your accounting firm is buzzing with new hires. They're eager, they're promising, and they say they know QuickBooks inside and out. But soon, you're seeing the red flags. Errors are creeping into their work, and you're once again in the train, correct, and repeat cycle. Break free with RoyalWise. Alicia Katz-Pollock, founder of RoyalWise, has developed a comprehensive QuickBooks training platform with live webinars and on-demand courses, site-wide memberships, and even monthly coaching sessions, enabling your staff to learn QuickBooks Online while learning CPE. Develop a QuickBooks savvy workforce today by visiting learn.royalwise.com. Use promo code UQB for 10% off any course or annual membership. Okay, moving on to an entirely different area of QuickBooks Online, we're going to talk about bank feeds. There are two minor changes to bank feeds that are worth mentioning. The first one is the Categorize tab now got the ability for you to, again, because it should have always been there, but you can now it now shows the vendor and payee in the screen. So prior to this change, you would go into bank feeds, not the for your review section, but the categorized section, and you could do, and this is something we reported maybe a couple episodes ago, you can now batch edit the things that you've categorized in here, but you didn't have the payee information showing you in that screen. And what's really, really awesome, and this is sort of kind of semi-mind-blowing too, is that in the categorized tab, you can actually, without having to like click on multiple ones and click on edit, now the payees has a little drop down, so I can change and edit on the fly the categorized tab by literally just clicking on the drop down on the payee section. And it also works for the category. I could change the categories simply via a drop down. So basically a twofold thing that we add. First, we can now batch edit both account payee in the categorized screen by clicking on a whole bunch, and we've reported on this maybe a couple episodes ago, so that's cool. But also in line with a drop-down menu for both payees and categories, that to me is huge. And this just came out like a couple of days ago, so I'm going to assume that Alicia hasn't even seen this, or maybe it's only enabled in my file, I guess. Alicia, any thoughts on this?
I mean, for me, this is transformational. This is solving one of the big problems that we've had in QBO, that, you know, we get clients who run their bank feeds and they don't know that you have to put in a payee, you know, and, you know, especially from back, you know, 10 years ago when the payee field used to have optional in it and people somehow thought that that was actually optional. But if you don't put in a payee, you can't find it anywhere on your lists. The only way you can find a transaction is by drilling in through a report. And I've spent hours correcting this in some clients' files. And now that we finally have the ability to do a batch vendor update is enormous, and I couldn't be happier about it.
And also worth mentioning, within the same inline drop-down menus for payees and categories in the Categorize tab, you can also create the vendor, the payee, customer vendor, payee on the fly, and also create the account on the fly. What's curious about this, and we're going to talk about chart of accounts soon, is that the pop-up window that comes up to create a new account is still the sort of the older style pop-up window, and not the new one that's the side drawer that comes in through the side. So I wonder if they're going to catch up to that and just have a consistent new account creation screen, you know, whereas it's not different whether you're in banking or in the chart of accounts.
Yeah. I mean, it's been curious to me that they didn't just transform the whole thing to one solidified, consistent interface, but you know, I honestly kind of miss the old box, so I'm happy to see it when I do.
Exactly. So let's move on to a different area in QuickBooks Online, customer details screen. So when you go into any specific customer details screen or in all sales, they now added sort of in-screen contextual quick links to reports that normally people would search for while on the screen. So inside the grid where you see all the transactions, where you have the print button, the export to Excel button, and the what we call the baby gear, the little gear, where you can change what the grid looks like, they now added the famous three little dots where you can click on that and a little window pops up that says quick links, and you get access to reports like the deleted transaction reports, which is probably an audit log, actually, the accounts receivable summary report, the customer balance summary report, sales by customer summary report, and statement list report. So essentially, maybe they heard a couple of users say, hey, while I'm looking at the customer details, I would like to open up these specific reports. And they're sort of bringing that just contextual menus and contextual links within the screen. What are your thoughts about that, Alicia?
Oh, I'm delighted for this one. This is something that I hadn't even thought about myself, but the idea of being, you know, if I have to run a customer report, I've had to open up a second tab and then go to reports and go run the reports and then go filter it for the customer. And that's, you know, a good minute of time right there. And the fact that I can now just run the customer balance summary or the sales by customer summary right from any customer's screen so that I can see the whole big picture of what's happening behind the scenes. I love it. Absolutely love it. That's a good minute of time frequently through the day.
Absolutely. The next thing is worth mentioning, if you actually go into the invoice list or the estimate list, so close to the customers tab section, if you click on the baby gear or the action gear button, there's a new concept here, which there's a button that says set as default. And the concept of this, and again, I don't know why they only do it in two screens and then you have to remember which screens have it and which ones don't. But this is awesome. You know, when you actually click on that little gear button and you customize how many columns you want to, which columns you want to see, and maybe how many rows you want to see, you can now click on set as default and it becomes sort of the default setting when you go back into that particular page. So this is actually a huge win. I'm a little bit disappointed that it's only in the invoice list and only in the estimate list. Only like true nerds like Alicia and I that are actually clicking on every button, every little box in QuickBooks across all screens to see what's different can discover this type of things. But I'm going to call out that if this is a good idea, which I think it is, that users are going to give good feedback, all the baby gears, all the grid modification gears should have the ability for you to save as a default the current view that you're, again, both which fields you want to see and also the number of rows, because that's part of having a customized experience for the user.
Please, please, please give it to me in the chart of accounts. That would make me so happy to be able to get everything all tighter together and 300 on a screen. That would save me. I use those clicks almost every time I go into the chart of accounts. So hopefully this is they're testing it out on these first screens and that we will see it rolled out everywhere.
What I hope, and I'm going to put my future hat on, what I hope is the ultimate goal, especially for accounting professionals, is once QuickBooks stops mucking with the screens, like once QuickBooks says, okay, we finally figured out what QuickBooks Online should look like, this all the interfaces are consistent across the board, all the date pickers, all the baby gears, all the lists, all the screens, all the drop-down menus, once they figure that out, and for a good, like, solid 3 years, they don't change the interface, that there's a setting, a global setting like that for accountants. So I can say, when I go across all my clients, this is how I want to see it without necessarily affecting how the customer wants to see it. So I may want to go into every bank feeds and see 300 lines, or every chart of accounts and see 300 lines, where my client might want to see 50 lines or 100 lines. So I would love to see an accounting-wide setting that basically affects all clients across the board. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I think that's a brilliant idea, but I think it's also rife with misunderstanding that if you don't know, if you don't remember that this is just in yours, you know, advising your clients can get a little tricky. But I, you know, it'd be nice not to have to change that setting every time I open up a new client file, for sure.
Exactly.
Do you use QuickBooks Online all day long? Do you always feel like it could be so much more efficient to navigate? Then you should try WriteTool for QuickBooks Online. WriteTool is a free Chrome extension that allows you to add functionality to your QBO through Google Chrome or Microsoft Edge's web browsers. Features like custom favorites, so you can quickly navigate to any screen of QBO, and the Tab Manager, so you can have multiple pages open and move between those tabs with a single click. And it's all located in a right-sided navigation bar. And for power users, there's a pro version that adds batching capabilities such as deleting and editing transactions in bulk. I'm a WriteTool user myself, and I have to say it saves me tons of time, all day, every day. Learn more at writetool.app. That is www.writetool.app.
Now, the next thing is really small. In the expenses tab, they now added the ability to print multiple purchase orders in batch. I know it's small. I know it's like, you know, who needs to print multiple purchase orders in batch? Yeah, but for the few people that need to do that, that's there. So you go into the expenses tab, you filter by transaction type, only show your purchase orders, and then you'll be able to, in there, print all those purchase orders in one shot. I don't know, Alicia, have you ever had a situation where you had to do something like that?
I haven't even come across it. So very happy that for the people who need it, that's going to be really handy.
The next thing worth mentioning is sticky headers. So again, not available in all reports, in all screens, I mean. Now in the expenses screen, the bill screen, the vendor screen, the sales screen, the customer screen, the invoice screen, the estimate screen, and the products and services screen, if you're in there and you scroll down, let's just assume it's a very long list, and you scroll down, now the headers, the titles of that table now stick to the top. Okay, so I think that's huge. It's really useful. This sort of started with Chart of Accounts. I think Chart of Accounts was the first screen where this ended up happening in, and I think it got such good, you know, feedback that they now added it to the expenses, bill, vendors, sales, customers, invoices, estimates, and products and services. Now, not across all the QuickBooks, but in those, and that's like 80% of them. And it's also, I'm also happy to report that within the same theme of sticky headers, with classic reports, so going into like a classic report, like your regular P&L. Also, if you have a very long one and you scroll down, you get the header sticks at the top. Now, it acts a little bit weird when you scroll up and down. Like it feels like it's like sticking and not sticking. But in essence, at the very end, it sticks to the top so you can see what those headers look like. I think that's a big win too, because sometimes, especially with detailed reports, you forget what field is what. So I think that's big.
Yeah, this one falls into that category of things that are so natural that you didn't even notice that it changed. And now that it's here, it's like, well, hasn't it always been there? And this is another one of those instances where the new programming and the new code underpinning the new reports and the whole software really shines.
And what you really notice it is when you actually go into the register screen and you scroll down and you see that the headers don't stick on the register screen. Or when you go into like bank feeds, same thing. You scroll all the way down and the headers don't stick. So it's still missing in two fundamental screens, like the register screen and the bank feed screen. I actually don't remember if in the reconcile screen they did the fixed headers. Alicia, do you remember if in the reconcile screen you get sticky headers?
I'd have to go look. Right now I'm in the chart of accounts and it's actually not working in the chart of accounts.
Interesting. Yeah. So in the new reconcile screen, it does have a sticky header. So I just went in and checked really quick.
Okay.
So it's the register screen, the bank feed screen, and apparently specifically in Alicia's chart of accounts. Oh, you're right. In my chart of accounts doesn't do it either. So I don't know why it worked in the chart of accounts for a little bit and then it went away. That's kind of interesting. But anyway.
It's called today ends in a Y.
Yeah. QuickBooks, we need sticky headers across all screens, all interfaces. That would be very helpful. The last kind of change that we've seen, and Alicia first spotted this, and I'll let you talk about it, the edit screen in chart of accounts. What changed?
When you are creating new chart of accounts, they had moved the whole experience over instead of a square in the middle to a column on the right-hand side. And one of the things that they did is they had circles across the top for all the different detail types, but they almost looked like art. People didn't realize that that's where you pick the detail type. And then below that, it would have the – you would tell it where on the chart of accounts you wanted it to fall. And then what they were getting at is like, do you want it to be a sub account of this other account? But that was never clear and it was never user friendly. And so it was really hard to make good sub accounts. And what they did is they've kind of made now a new screen that in a way goes back to the old way of doing it. It's a little bit more of a hybrid where it's still, you know, a right side drawer. And it starts with the account name, but now they actually have the account type and the detail type side by side. And then there's a checkbox for do you want this to be a sub account, and then a separate box for picking the sub account. And we're going back to kind of the quote unquote old way of doing it, but this was way more usable. So I'm very happy with this. That they've refined the user experience here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I like making it obvious that it's a sub account instead of having this really weird preview of a chart of accounts as kind of the indicator. Like you said, the big problem is it wasn't user friendly, not even for accountants. So obviously it was causing a lot of confusion. The last thing to report here, there's two new screens to batch enter or batch create customers and vendors that work similar to the batch creation in QuickBooks Online Advanced, but this is across all versions. So prior to this, you could only import customers or vendors via a CSV or an Excel upload. Now you have this grid where you can sort of have more of this copy and paste type of feel. Feels a little bit more like the add edit multiple entities in QuickBooks Desktop. So I like that net win, make it easier for customers to add new customers and new vendors.
Yeah. And where you find this is when you're looking at your customer screen and you go to the new customers button, the dropdown on the far right now gives you the ability to add multiple customers. And that's what takes you to this new batch screen. And this is one of the first times when we have seen something that was initially introduced in QuickBooks Online Advanced rolled backwards across the other SKUs, across the other versions. And, you know, I'm really happy for it. You don't need to just get Advanced so that you can add a one-time import of your entire customer list. So this is great. Thank you, Intuit, for doing this.
And to be clear, they have not rolled back the ability to batch enter invoices or expenses or bills. It's just customers or vendors. Like, so they haven't rolled. They rolled back the interface system to be able to import, but not necessarily the feature itself. The other features to batch enter transactions, those have not been rolled back. And that's it with the list of kind of these tweaks and interface changes. There's one last thing we want to mention. Like, literally the day we're recording this episode, we got an email reminder from Intuit that says the following. Dear valued partner, so I assume this is being sent to all accountants, we want to remind you about an invoice change that will affect QuickBooks Online Plus and Advanced customers. Quote, the ability to switch the old and new invoice layouts will no longer be available beginning May 6th, which means the dreaded, I want to say dreaded because they've done tons of improvements to it, but that dreaded new invoice screen that a lot of people were kind of falling back to the classic mode, especially with this Plus and Advanced users, will completely disappear on May 6th, which means you will only be able to have the new invoice screen. So Alicia, any thoughts on that so we can close out the episode?
Sure. I mean, when they first introduced this new invoice, I was not a fan, but they have been working really, really, really hard on making it more user-friendly and more powerful. And this is another case where the right side drawer is just taking on more and more and more importance and features. So it's I've become a fan. You know, a lot of the time, getting used to something is the biggest part of the game and getting familiar with it. And so I really encourage everybody to go over to the new invoice now, not wait until May, so that you can put it through its paces and make suggestions and put in feedback. Because if May 6th is when we all have to go to it, let's actually actively give them our feedback now, constructive feedback. What is it not doing that you still need it to do so that we can all have a great experience?
Awesome. Alicia, so let's wrap it up. What's going on in your world?
Well, I just put out a new book called QuickBooks Online from Setup to Tax Time on Amazon. That's a great book for beginners. It's kind of like one of those desk references where you can go in and just look something up. Oh, look, Hector has a copy of it. Yay. And for everybody who is buying it, it is now available on Kindle, which it was not the last time I made this this announcement. And please, please, please head back after you have purchased it and go back and leave me a hopefully 5-star review and tell people what you like about it, because on Amazon, the reviews are absolutely everything. All that being said, I now have to go back and update some of my screenshots, especially with the new chart of accounts. But I will promise to keep the guts of the book up to date.
The life
How about
of
you, Hector? What's going on?
The life of a QuickBooks Online printed book author it can't be easy. I just want to mention really quick, Accounting High's March Aptness Tournament. It's been a lot of fun. I believe there was a total of 32 or 64 apps that entered this bracket-style tournament. This is run by Scott Scarano from Accounting High. You can check it out at abc.accountinghigh.com. And eventually, when we're recording this episode, we're down to the what's called the Elite Eight, so the top eight. So I want to give a quick shout out to the top eight that were here. These are both apps in the accounting space and both media and educational resources, which, by the way, our podcast made it to the very first round, but we lost to the accounting podcast, our partners over at Earmark Media. So it
not
was worth it.
Not a fair matchup.
Not a fair matchup, but it was worth losing to them. But then the accounting podcast lost to a podcast called, actually, they went head-to-head with a podcast called The Abundant Accountant. They beat The Abundant Accountant, and then they went head-to-head against Jason Statt's Daily Podcast. And Jason Statt's Daily Podcast won. So now Jason Statt's Daily Podcast, who has been the favorite to win this, is in the top eight. Also, another podcast called The Ambitious Bookkeeper. I think Serena Shoup, I think is her name, runs that. So them two are in the top eight. Then we have Scaling New Heights, the conference run by Joe Woodard, in the top eight. And then we have the Bookkeeping Side Hustle Community, a community, a Facebook group that's huge, like 20,000 users. That's run by, what's her name? Catherine Johnson?
Kate, yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's got like three names, so it makes it harder to remember. Then we had Gusto, the payroll company, in the top eight, going head-to-head against G Suite. I mean, that's a weird matchup, the battle of the Gs. And then we have Keeper, one of this community's favorites, practice management app, going against Rightool. So by the time this episode airs, we might be down to like the final, which we don't know who's going to be in the final. But in either case, go to abc.accountinghigh.com and vote for your favorite app/accounting resource so they can win the glory. And that's all they get, the glory or the bragging rights for the whole year. So, of course, if you are a fan of Rightool, go ahead and vote for that, or obviously vote for Keeper if you think Keeper is more powerful than Rightool. I'm okay with that. I won't be mad at you.
Yeah, no, Rightool versus Keeper is kind of the competition of the century, and kind of not fair because it's the two tools that so many of us both use. So, you know, my perspective is I use Keeper and I depend on it. I use Rightool and I depend on it. But if I didn't have a bookkeeping business, I would still use Rightool. So that was my two cents. Go ahead.
I just want to say, so Keeper, we love you, even though Rightool is going to win. And you're always welcome to sponsor the podcast.
Yeah. No, Keeper is an amazing software. It has absolutely transformed my bookkeeping practice. So thank you, Ben and Kenny, for everything that you do. May the best software win. I also do want to just take a minute, though, and give a thank you. Royal Wise Owls, my QuickBooks training company did make it into the Sweet 16, which is 3 tiers further than I made it the year before. And I did lose to Serena Shoup's ambitious bookkeeper. But I want to thank everybody who went in and voted for me because, you know, nothing but bragging rights comes out of this competition. That's the acknowledgement that those of us in the industry need to keep doing what we do and knowing that we make a difference. So thank you all for your votes and support in the accounting bracket.
Absolutely. And bottom line, all 32 apps resources that were in the bracket are worth looking at. So if anything, it's a net win for the entire profession to get a really good roadmap in terms of what are the pieces of technology that we should start checking out and start figuring out if we can build it into a workflow. With that being said, thank you very much, and we'll see you in the next one.
See you in the next one.
This podcast is independently operated and is not affiliated with or endorsed by QuickBooks or Intuit Inc. Any reference to Intuit and QuickBooks products are made solely for the purpose of discussing the topics related to the company and its software.